This is Stateside on Michigan Radio. I'm Lester Graham, filling in for Cynthia Canty. There's a huge disconnect between our use of electricity and the burning of coal. So let me connect the dots for you. The average American's use of electricity in a day equals 20 pounds of coal. That's what you burn on average. And in Michigan, all the coal we use is imported from out of state. Joining us to talk about coal and our dependence on it now and in the future is DTE Energy's Skiles Boyd. Welcome. He's the Vice President of Environmental Management and Resources at DTE. And Tiffany Hartung with the Sierra Club, where she is the organizer for the Moving Beyond Coal campaign. So one of the biggest coal-burning power plants in the nation is here in Michigan. DTE Energy's Monroe Power Plant is the fourth largest coal-fired power plant in the nation, and it's one of a half dozen or so power plants operated by DTE. Is that right?
That's correct.
Yeah. So DTE said that for last year, coal made just over 76% of the fuel that it used to create electricity. That's up from the percentage of fuel used in 2005. I think it was 61%, just a little more than 61% then. Other fuels DTE used last year included nuclear, about 15% of your fuel supply, natural gas, around 5%, and renewables like wind, solar, and biomass, about 4%. So, Mr. Boyd, you've invested a lot of money in this Monroe power plant for the last few years. I take it DTE plans to stick with coal for a while?
Well, absolutely. Coal is a valuable resource that has really fueled the industrial development in this country. And there were a lot of coal plants built in that time because that was the most economical approach to supplying energy. And so any kind of move away from that will take a little bit of time and will have to be balanced with the increased cost.
Now, you've invested in some equipment to reduce some kinds of air pollution at the Monroe plant. You just lost a court battle with the EPA because basically they say the company dodged upgrading pollution control equipment that the EPA says is required. With all the concerns about pollution from burning coal and greenhouse gas emissions from burning coal, why did this happen?
Well, let me correct a couple of things that you indicated. First of all, we didn't lose a court case. This is basically a we won at the local level. It went to the appeals court. The appeals court has really just sent back a very limited decision for the lower court to review. And so that we'll play that through and we're pretty confident we'll win ultimately. The Monroe Power Plant is got the best emission control equipment that you can put on a power plant on two of its units, and the other two are under construction. Our emission reductions system-wide have been about 90% particulate reduction over the last just under four decades since we really started looking hard at those things. Of a 75% reduction in sulfur dioxide, nitrogen oxides, which are two other pollutants that we're trying to reduce. The equipment that we're putting on Monroe, once it's fully, it'll be a 95% removal of sulfur dioxide, which was pretty low because we burn very low sulfur coal to start with.
Western coal, I take it.
Western coal primarily. And about 85% reduction in nitrogen oxides.
We should point out that nitrogen oxides are the things that contribute to smog. Sulfur dioxide is the thing that contributes to acid rain. So you've made some improvements at that 40-year-old plant. Tiffany Hartung, do you think the Sierra Club views this court case the same way? And what about these improvements DTE Energy has made at the Monroe plant and its other plants?
Well, so as you mentioned, Michigan and DTE in particular is pretty dependent on coal-fired power plants. And as a nation, we're moving away from that. But right now, DTE's coal-fired power plants lack widely available modern pollution controls. All of DTE's coal plants that were built in the 50s or 60s, and most of the ones that are still in operation today. And we believe it's time to follow the trends that other utilities are taking, utilities in the Midwest, and move towards retiring those and shifting towards cleaner and cheaper renewable energy.
Now, the Sierra Club has been hammering away through campaigns and lawsuits to nudge power companies across the state to move away from coal.
That's right.
If coal is a domestic fuel, it's plentiful, it's relatively cheap, why not take advantage of it?
As you mentioned, coal is a domestic fuel. However, it's not Michigan domestic fuel. And as you mentioned earlier, Michigan imports all of our coal from out of state. We send $1.7 billion annually out of state, a lot to out west, Powder River Coal, Wyoming, to Appalachia. And that's an unnecessary fuel cost that we have. And Michigan families are paying for that, both with our pocketbooks and the added cost of bringing in a more increasingly expensive fuel from out of state, but also with our health. There's a lot of issues around the pollution and health effects from coal-fired power plants.
Now, last year, the environmental community lost a pretty significant battle when voters turned down a constitutional amendment that would require a greater mandate for renewable energy, the so-called 25 by 25 plan. What do you think happened there?
Sure. So there was what we saw last year was sort of a lot of constitutional amendment proposals that sort of created a sort of an anti-constitutional amendment wave that came through. But what I would say about that is that Election Day polling showed that 73% across the board bipartisan Michigan voters support expanding renewable energy in Michigan beyond the current energy law. So there is a lot of public support in Michigan. Voters see the benefits of renewable energy, of cleaner air and creating a stronger clean energy economy here in Michigan.
Skiles Boyd, DTE Energy recently has filed a plan with the Michigan Public Service Commission to lower renewable energy surcharges to residential customers. It'll drop from $3 a month to about 43 cents. That'll amount to about $90 million in savings for consumers. I'm sure your customers will appreciate a couple of bucks they'll save each month, but I'm wondering, why didn't you continue the surcharge and actually expand your renewable portfolio?
Well, we balance a lot of different things as we make our energy generation decisions. And so we have a lot of our industrial customers are competing worldwide, and so they need very reasonable rates. We have a lot of customers, you know, residential customers that are still struggling following the downturn in the economy. So we have to balance all of those things. We are meeting the standard going forward of the 10% renewables by 2015. What we found is it's less expensive to do that than what was originally assumed and when that was developed. So we're very supportive of moving forward with additional renewables, but that's not a decision that we get to make all by ourselves. We're a regulated company, and that's with the Public Service Commission and with the government of the state of Michigan. And so, you know, that was we struggled a little bit last year as we had the ballot proposal because we're in favor of additional renewables. We just a constitutional that locks in a certain amount by a certain date is probably not the right approach. The right approach is to evaluate as you need additional energy or as you're making decisions to transfer from coal or from other sources to renewables. You know, that's an overall decision you need to make with the Public Service Commission, with our stakeholders.
So you can't just add more renewable energy into the mix right now without the Public Service Commission's blessings, or what are you saying?
Not and have the company recover its investment. So, I mean, you know, that we are a regulated company. So anytime you need new generation, you go to the Public Service Commission and you say, we need new generation or we want to transfer this. And this is what we're going to put into our rates for our customer. So, and they have a process to approve or reject that.
But you already had $3 a month and you could have used it to do that, right? I mean, you already had the funding through the surcharge and now you're proposing giving about $2.57 back instead of using it.
Right. Well, we feel that's the right approach to do these things as we make these decisions is to allow, you know, make sure that all of our stakeholders are aware of that. And we can make a decision with the Public Service Commission to do something different, but we owe that to our customers because they're pushing hard for lower rates.
So what is DTE Energy doing about greenhouse gas emissions?
We've held our greenhouse gas emissions pretty flat from about 1990 to about 2005, 2006. Since that time, we've reduced it by about 12%. The president has talked about a 17% reduction by 2020, and we think we'll probably be around that range with the increased renewables that are being built and with other things that will go on as far as, you know, less generation with coal.
Ms. Hartung, what does the Sierra Club think about the efforts of DTE, Consumers Energy, and the other power generating companies in Michigan on addressing climate change?
Sure. We think DTE and our Michigan utilities are dragging their feet. Greenhouse gas emissions from coal-fired power plants are about 80% of carbon emissions in the U.S. and the largest carbon source in the energy sector. Since 2010, about 50,000 megawatts of existing coal-fired generation in the U.S. has been announced to retire, and that includes neighboring states like Ohio and Illinois in the Midwest. Unfortunately, we're worried that Michigan's going to get left behind.
Now, Mr. Boyd just made the point that he's trying to keep energy costs low for his consumers, residential and commercial. If we start talking about investing in renewables, we're talking about an increased capital cost because you have to build these wind turbines. You have to build solar panel arrays. How many consumers are going to be willing to pay a little more for that?
So, and I'd actually also like to speak to the point you were talking about, lowering DTE announcing this week, lowering the renewable energy surcharge. Sierra Club applauds that the surcharge is being lowered, but we do think that is long overdue. With the renewable energy plan filing and DTE announcing that they're lowering their surcharge, DTE was acknowledging that the cost of renewables are cheaper and cost competitive. And the cost of associated with coal are going up. And it's a risk for ratepayers and the company alike. And so moving towards more clean energy and energy efficiency to sort of keep those environmental liabilities to a minimum for both ratepayers and the company and shareholders.
Let me make perfectly clear, as a company, we're very supportive of moving towards renewables. But we always have to balance the pace of change with our customers' ability to absorb that change. And we've talked about renewable prices going down. That's absolutely true. It's still more expensive, any new generation. You know, we want to make transition. We think diversity of fuel is really the best approach. Because, you know, natural gas prices move around, coal has its drawbacks, but renewables cost and they are very intermittent. So we don't have storage really to get past a certain level of renewables. But we want to move in that direction and have a very diversified fuel base.
I was going to say it's happening in states around us, as Ms. Hartung said. I mean, I'm from Illinois. It's seen a substantial increase. I see a lot in Indiana. There's a huge amount of wind turbine power in Minnesota and Iowa, as she mentioned. Here we are, a Great Lakes state. We don't have quite the wind that Minnesota does, but we've got pretty good ratings. It seems like a no-brainer because once the tower's up, from then on, anything that's generated is pretty much free except for the transmission lines.
Right, and it's being built. We've invested $520 million in 2011, 2012, another $200 million this year to build new wind. In addition to that, we're signing contracts with others. There are other states that it's better than Michigan. One of the things that we don't have in Michigan is an increasing demand for electricity, a significant increasing demand. That makes it a lot easier to build new generation. Any kind of generation is whenever you have an increasing demand. Right now, ours is pretty flat. And a lot of that is a good thing because of energy efficiency that we've implemented in the state. So we need to keep doing that. And as we need to add new generation, we need to look at those things. And I'm totally confident that wind will play in well, as will less emitting natural gas.
So until there's an increased demand, you're not going to be taking older, dirtier power plants offline to replace it with renewable?
We will be taking some offline, as those are the right decision to make.
I wanted to ask you both, are we going to move away from coal faster than we have been, or are we going to find a way to burn it more cleanly and sequester the carbon dioxide and other greenhouse gases? What's the Sierra Club think about what's going to happen in the next 10 to 20 years?
Sure. As Sierra Club thinks nationally, that is definitely the trend, and we're seeing that already, as I mentioned. For Michigan, I think that depends on DTE's choices, DTE being the largest utility, as well as Consumers Energy and co-ops like Wolverine. DTE has a very big financial interest in maintaining status quo. In addition to the regulated power supplier entity that DTE has, it also has some unregulated entities that keep Michigan dependent on coal. DTE is among the top producers of three North American coal marketers and transporters. Coal is very tied to DTE's bottom line, and I think that will be part of the decision.
Yeah, that's something that was brought up. You guys own a lot of rail cars. You move coal for you and for other companies, right?
No. We own rail cars to bring our coal in. We do ship some other coal through our transshipment facility that was actually built to reduce the cost of generation in Michigan, and they're able to use that facility to transship to other facilities around the area. Most of our non-regulated business is outside of Michigan, so it really has no relationship to the generation here and the use of coal in this state.
Well, it's a subsidiary. It has something to do with your bottom line and then your profit motivations, I would think.
Right, but we're very broad there. I mean, we have a number of biomass facilities. We have landfill gas to energy facilities across the country. It's not tied to coal.
All right, one last question. With developed nations moving toward ever larger renewable energy portfolios, even coal-rich nations like Germany are using a lot more solar and some wind. Will the U.S. find itself, will Michigan find itself at a competitive disadvantage in the coming decades if we don't escalate this move toward renewable?
I don't believe it'll find itself at a competitive disadvantage. I mean, we need to move forward with renewables in a way that's right for our customers, right for the residents in Michigan. You know, people talk about, you know, major manufacturing coming to Michigan if we do renewables. That really hasn't played out in other locations. Windmills will be built where there's manufacturing facilities building windmills already.
And we do build them here.
Right. We do build some. But, you know, I mean, it's not a major move for jobs.
Ms. Harchung, same question. Are we going to be at a competitive disadvantage if we don't move faster toward renewables?
Absolutely. And we're already seeing that. Michigan is at risk of being left behind as we're coming to meet our 2008 energy law here in a couple years. The Michigan Public Service Commission produces an annual report on the renewable energy in Michigan and the economic activity. And their report from 2012 showed renewable energy in Michigan generated $1.8 billion in economic activity through last year. So that's something for a state that our economy has seen better days. It's one of the few bright spots in our state's economy, and it's something that we need to support.
We've been speaking with Tiffany Harchung with the Sierra Club and the Moving Beyond Coal campaign, and Skiles Boyd. He's with DTE Energy, the Vice President of Environmental Management and Resources at DTE. Thanks both for coming in.
Thanks.
Thank you.